Rem laid his hands on the windowsill and watched the mid-spring chill graze the trees from afar. How he wished that he could kiss the leaves himself. My father got to experience a life like that at my age, and so did my mother. Why shouldn't I have the same treatment? Why should I remain a prisoner in this castle for the rest of my life just because I was born differently? Why don't we take a trip to our favorite spot? Solas responded, to which Rem smiled softly. It was best to consider the little details in their plans, and they always shared their best thoughts until the waterfall, preferably with cream puffs, which added a moment's bliss into any derails. How are we getting there without running into people? Surely we can't just walk out the front door. Solas playfully smirked. You know every nook and cranny. You tell me.
Winnie the Pooh sat down at the foot of the tree, put his head between his paws, and began to think. First of all, he said to himself, that buzzing noise means something. If there's a buzzing noise, somebody's making a buzzing noise, and the only reason for making a buzzing noise that I know of is because you're a bee. Then he thought another long time, and said, and the only reason for being a bee that I know of is making honey. So he began to climb the tree. He climbed, and he climbed, and he climbed, and as he climbed, he sang a little song to himself. It went like this. Isn't it funny how a bear likes honey? Buzz, 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 I wonder why he does. Then he climbed a little further, and a little further, and then just a little further. By that time, he had thought of another song. It's a very funny thought that if bears were bees, they build their nests at the bottom of trees. And that being so, if the bees were bears, we shouldn't have to climb up all these stairs.
The morning light flashes into the room as she slips out of the curtain door. He pulls his shirt on and stumbles after her into the courtyard of their circle. She's through the entrance already, so Xander takes a shortcut, leaping over the smoky fire pit and squeezing through the gap in the wall. Their circle is the first one in a row of walled-off camps lined up against the hills. He spots Kenzie sprinting across the flats toward the station trucks. When she glances back, he can tell she's annoyed with him. He takes off after her. The yellowy-brown dirt of the wastelands kicks up around him as his feet dig into the cracked earth. It feels good to run. His senses tingle when he hears the wind howl in his ears. Closing his mouth to hide his long teeth and keep his tongue from hanging out, he tries to avoid the attention of the station guard who has been watching him most of the way. As a mutant, you get used to the humans reacting to you strangely. Finally, the station guard looks away, his lip turned up in disgust. The procession of mutants is getting longer as he arrives and slips in just behind his sister. Why do you sleep so deep? Kenzie pulls him next to her. It scares me.
The Red Death had long devastated the country. No pestilence had ever been so fatal or so hideous. Blood was its avatar and its seal, the redness and the horror of blood. There were sharp pains and sudden dizziness, and then profuse bleeding at the pores with dissolution. But the Prince Prospero was happy and dauntless and sagacious. When his dominions were half depopulated, he summoned to his presence 1,000 hale and light-hearted friends from among the knights and dames of his court, and with these, retired to the deep seclusion of one of his castellated abbeys. This was an extensive and magnificent structure, the creation of the prince's own eccentric yet august taste. A strong and lofty wall girdled it in. The courtiers, having entered, brought furnaces and massy hammers and welded the bolts. They resolved to leave means neither of ingress nor egress to the sudden impulses of despair or a frenzy from within. The abbey was amply provisioned. With such precautions, the courtiers might bid defiance to contagion. The external world could take care of itself. In the meantime, it was folly to grieve, or to think.